That was excellent. Some of the best percussion I've ever heard. Now, after we've had a chance to make some noise, we're now going to be quiet just for a few minutes, because Max is going to come and read from the Bible for us. Max, come and read for us.
This reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verse 11 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat."
Brilliant. Thank you, Max. The problem about reading a passage from the Bible like that, just like Max did, even though he read it fantastically, was we don't really know the setting. We don't know what the whole story is that it fits into. So I thought this morning that the children and I would basically help you to understand what that story is, what that big story is that it fits into. And what we're going to do is we're going to act out, if you don't mind, the scenario that was in the reading that Max read for us. So, children, you need to be on your feet. And I'm just going to explain who we are and who they are, okay? We are the Israelites, okay? We are the people of Israel. And I don't know if you remember this bit of the story when you did it in Sunday school, but we've just been rescued from slavery in Egypt. Okay? Now what I want you to do is just have a think back to what it was like in Egypt, and we'll pretend that Egypt's over there, and look at Egypt and go, "Ooh, that was horrible." Just the look at Egypt over there. Egypt was not nice. "Ooh, horrible over there." "Ooh," right, okay? Now we're out of Egypt, and we're now in the desert, and we're on the way to the promised land that God has promised for us. That means that you are the desert, if that would be alright. If you could be the desert, that would be brilliant. And you don't really need to do very much for the desert. You just kind of sit there. And if you don't like being the sand, then that's fair enough. You could perhaps be a cactus or something like that. And we're gonna go on our journey through the desert. Okay? Okay, so I think if Egypt's that way, we don't want to go to Egypt, so I think we're going to head this way. So we go off. But remember, it's slow progress in the sand. Come on. We're off in the sand. I don't need to remind you that it is hot in the desert. So don't forget to be hot. Sometimes you have to go through narrow gaps in the desert, so watch out for the cactuses and things like that. Just check that they're all right at the back. We need to make sure that they don't look very hot. It's very hot in the desert. The sun is burning down. I know it doesn't feel hot, but it will. Keep going. And after a bit, it gets so hard going that we stop about here. Shh. We're pretending we're in the desert. Of course, you don't sing in the desert, or you could do. Make sure everyone else catches up. Now it got really hot in the desert. The sun was beat down like this. And it got really hot. And what happens when you get hot? You get thirsty. So make thirsty noises. What I would give for a drink. So we started to moan. The Israelite people started to grumble, and they started to say, "Why hasn't God given us anything to drink?" Say that. "Why hasn't God given us anything to drink?" And do some whining. Excellent, excellent. We wanted something to drink. And do you know what God did? He provided water. And there it is. Now look. Hey, look, you'll see there's some water. Grab a cup. Obviously, God didn't provide it in cups. Grab a cup. Have a quick drink. And when you finish drinking, you've got to be very satisfied. So you go, ah. Mmm, delicious. Ah. Let's say you're, ah. That's better. Anyway, we must carry on our journey. And we set off again into the desert. Leave your cups there. And it's still hot. Woo! Really hot. And we get to about here. This area of the desert. Now don't run on ahead. You'll miss out. You've got a fan. That's a good idea. And after it got hot, then what did we need? We started suddenly thinking we needed food. And we were hungry. Well, I was certainly hungry. And we started going, oh, I want some food. So let's do that. I want some food. I want some food. Excellent. You're getting the idea. And we whinged again. And what do you think God did this time? He gave us some food. And that was the passage that Max read out to us. God gave food to his people, the Israelites. And the kind of food that God gave them was a sort of bread. It was called manna. And in the morning, when they came out, there was a layer of dew. And the dew disappeared. And there was this manna, which was kind of like bread. And some of the really clever ones might well have spotted already that there seemed to be some slices of bread around the place. And what the Israelites had to do in the morning is they had to go around and collect up all the bread. And that's what we're going to do. When you've collected them, bring them up to the stage at the front. They are all over the church. There are many of them. You will need to go upstairs and downstairs to find them. Find bread. When you found them, bring them up to the front. Good work. Keep going. Keep going. Well done. They are all over the church. No, it's bread.
Oh, that's
good. Well done, Keris.
Real bread.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10. 7 more to go. Whoops. Six more to go. It looks like real bread, doesn't it? 6 more to go. Maybe the bread thieves have been in overnight. If you've got bits of bread, bring them up to the stage. Bring them up. Five more to go. Anyone else got bread? Two more there. 1, 2, 3. Oops. Oh, excellent. I believe we found all the bread. Well done, boys. Ah, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. That's it. We've got all of the bits of bread. Grown-ups, why don't you give them a round of applause for an excellent bit of... Kids, do you want to go back to your seats? Go back to your seats. Go back to your seats. Leave them there, guys. Guys, leave them there. Go back to your seats. Back to your seats. Back to your seats. Go and find your seats. That was an excellent bit of bread finding. And that's what they would have had to have done every morning. To go out and find the bread that God had given to the Israelites to eat. And I guess that when they found the bread, they were pretty thankful for it. And we're going to sing a song now. Sorry, musicians. We're going to sing a song now, which reminds us to be thankful for all of the good things that God has given us. Let's stand to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. Do please have a seat. And Harriet Beckham's going to come and read for us again.
This reading is from John chapter 6, verses 29 to 35. It is on page 1070. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Harriet, thank you very much. It was extraordinary, wasn't it, the way that God provided food for his people in the desert. And in this passage from John's Gospel that Harriet's just read for us, it's John chapter 6. In this passage from John's Gospel, Jesus reminded his listeners of how God had provided bread for his people in the desert. But then he goes on to tell them something even more extraordinary, even more amazing. Jesus says that God has provided for us in a much greater way even than he did for his people in the desert. Jesus says that God has provided for us in a much greater way even than he did for his people in the desert. And he uses quite a strange phrase to describe what God has done through him. He uses quite a strange phrase to describe himself. I wonder if any of the children spotted that phrase that Jesus uses to describe himself. Anyone got an idea? If you've got a Bible in front of you, John chapter 6 and verse 35 will give you a hint. John chapter 6, what page was it on? 1070. Anyone know what phrase that Jesus uses to describe himself? Go on, have a go. That's absolutely right. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." That's the phrase that Jesus uses to describe himself. "I am the bread of life." And if you take a look down at verse 35, you'll see it. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus says that through him, God has provided something far greater, far more lasting, far more important than bread in the desert. Something that, which in a sense means that we never need to be thirsty and we never need to be hungry again. And to see the sense in which Jesus means that, have a look on to verse 40. Jesus is still speaking and he says this, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son," that's Jesus, "and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You see, Jesus' claim is that he is the one who brings real life. Jesus claims that he is the one who brings real life. It's probably worth saying that this phrase, eternal life, is a kind of church phrase which is often used and which is equally often misused. Lots of people think that eternal life has something to do with sitting around on a cloud, learning perhaps to play the harp, and generally being bored out of your mind. But the eternal life that Jesus talks about here and that the Bible talks about elsewhere couldn't be further from that picture. When Jesus talks about eternal life, he's talking about life to the full. A life of satisfaction and fulfillment at the deepest level. When the Bible talks elsewhere about eternal life, the pictures that it most often uses are pictures of a party, or a banquet, or a feast, or a wedding reception. And at that party, or feast, or banquet, or wedding reception, there is unbridled joy and happiness and contentment. And the reason for this joy and happiness and contentment, the reason that the life that Jesus offers is real life, is because the life that he offers is the life that we were made for, that you and I were made for. Because it's life in never-ending relationship with the Creator of the universe. Jesus' claim is that this life of never-ending relationship with the Creator of the universe is only available through him. Have a look down again at verses 33 to 35. Jesus says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And the flip side of what Jesus says, or the flip side of his claim, must be that without him, this life in relationship with the Creator of the universe, the life that we were made for, life itself, is impossible. That is quite a claim for Jesus to make about himself. That is an extraordinary claim for anyone to make about themselves. If you're here this morning and you've never really checked out the claims that Jesus makes about himself, if you've never really looked into the claims that he makes, and can I suggest that watching The Vicar of Dibley or school chapel when you're younger probably isn't checking out his claims. If you haven't, then can I urge you to do so? Because if there's any truth whatsoever in Jesus' claim that real life, life in relationship with the Creator of the universe, if there's any truth in his claim, then it would be crazy, it would be bananas to reject it without at least looking into it. If you discover that it isn't true, that Jesus can't back up his claims, well then, fair enough. You'll probably be off to Egypt for Christmas and for New Year. I don't know if you've seen the poster that the Egyptian Tourist Board has commissioned. But it says this: Egypt, welcome to our seventh millennium. And the message is clear, isn't it? Why are you bothering celebrating 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus when you could be celebrating 7,000 years since the birth of Egypt? Jesus is a small fry. He is irrelevant. He is not significant to the history of Egypt. And if the claims that Jesus makes are not true, then the Egyptian Tourist Board is absolutely right. If, however, they are true, if Jesus is right when he says that real life is only available through him, if that's true, he can't be ignored. What he offers is of unparalleled importance. More important, says Jesus, than food for people who are starving in a desert. And I realize that that is a shocking claim for Jesus to make. If we've seen the pictures on the news, we know how important it is to feed people who are starving. It's great, isn't it, that the food that we've collected this morning will go to feed people who are hungry here in London. Of course food for starving people is important. Which gives us a measure of how important it is that through Jesus, God has provided us with an opportunity for real life, with the chance to be in a never-ending relationship with the Creator of the universe. It is so important that Jesus died to make it happen. So please make sure that you take the opportunity to check out the claims that Jesus makes about himself. In a moment, Andrew's going to come and tell us about some of those opportunities here at St. Helens. But before he does, for a few moments, let's be quiet together.